in the temptation with Satan, in Matthew 4, Luke 4, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And so Jesus quotes Deuteronomy. In 16, verse 1, speaks of the Passover lamb. That also, if you read through that with an eye to Jesus, you will see Jesus in the Passover. Deuteronomy 18, he is the prophet who is to come. That shows up in John 6, verse 14, and other places. He is declared, and the question is asked in John, is this the prophet who is to come? And that is a direct reference to Deuteronomy, because the people knew Moses had said, I'm going to send you another, God says, I'm going to send you another prophet. Listen to him. And it's interesting that God then comes in Luke 9, and God says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Shema! Listen to him. In other words, this is the fulfillment of Deuteronomy 18, standing in front of you. Jeremiah 31 spoke of putting a new covenant on their hearts. 2 Corinthians 3 talks about the old stone tablets and the law being written on our hearts. So there is much in Deuteronomy that points forward to Christ. So if you have the eye, as Jesus would say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Christ is in Deuteronomy. Let me close with a question. Barb's question. Why she brings up these questions, I will never know. She finds the weirdest thing in the book. What's that? In Deuteronomy 22:11, it says, do not mix wool with linen. What the is that about? Well, I had to do some looking. And I will tell you, here's the first answer, and probably the most accurate one. We don't know. Now I will give you some other answers. In that verse, there's a Hebrew word, sa'atnez. It means the word that mixed cloth and linen. It comes, that word is an unknown origin. So they don't, it's a loan word, it's a foreign word, and it's the only place it's used. So they don't, one of the way they determine what a Hebrew word means is they look at all the places it's used in the scriptures. They look at the Ugaritic text from ancient Mesopotamia. They look at other derivatives in the Arabic, and they find out, means this and this and this and this, and it's all kind of in this sphere. We don't know where that word comes from. So it's a guess. So that leaves us a little open to suggestion. Leviticus 19, verse 19, speaks to this same thing with a mixing of seeds, cattle, and fabrics, which we also see in Deuteronomy here. It could be related, one, to the unnatural combinations, to don't mix and dilute, if you will, the purity of the species. It could also be related, possibly, that sometimes God gave the people laws in response to the nations that they were conquering. And you read Leviticus 18, and Leviticus 18 is filled with all this stuff of what you're not supposed to do sexually. Okay? You know, don't lie with your father's wife. And go, okay, and all this stuff, and you're going, okay, but much of that happened in Egypt and other places, so God said, you're not to be like this. So it's possible that there was some use of magical properties in some of the ancient religions where they would have mixed garments, and that meant something magical, and God wanted them to have nothing to do with that. We simply don't know. That could be. I don't think they had Maytag, so I don't know if that was a problem. No dry cleaner. Another suggestion is that in Revelation 19, verse 8, it says, we will be arrayed in fine linen, the righteous acts of the saints. So that fine linen is one fabric representing the righteous acts of the saints. So to mix fabrics could mean, well, you think there's actually two ways, two righteousnesses, if you will, of getting into heaven. And no, there's only one. You can only wear one robe of fine linen, not of mixed cloth. It doesn't say that in Revelation. I'm just offering. In the Qumran scrolls, they believed, in the Dead Sea Scrolls, they believed that only the sacred priestly garments could be mixed. And so for you and I to have mixed clothing would be somehow profane that which was sacred. We don't know. One more. It's a metaphor for not mixing the worship of God and the Canaanite religions. And there does, in general, number one, like I'll come back to the beginning, we don't know. But in general, you do see in the biblical text, in the Old and the New Testament, separation. Okay? You see that in the people going, you shall not make a covenant, you shall not intermarry, you shall tear down their altars. You have nothing to do with these people. So that God wanted the people to be holy, separate from the nations. Okay, you see that in a law like this. Now you jump ahead to the New Testament, read Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, the heading I put in my Bible is, don't be cross-dressers. Because Paul says, you people have been saved, I'm paraphrasing, why do you put on the works of darkness? Why do you conduct yourself like the world? You have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, so why do you keep acting? You're mixing with the world. It's one or the other. And so even in Jesus, you know, that sense of in high priestly prayer, Lord, I pray for them, for they are in the world, but not of the world. So there's a theme of separation that runs throughout the biblical text. How this specific few verses fit in, I don't know. But it does fit the theme of separation within the larger biblical text.
So,
if you didn't know that before, just ask that lady right back there. She will fill you in. Well, she could probably do the same thing. Any other questions, comments, observations about Deuteronomy? I have not looked that up. I know. I was good to get into Deuteronomy ready, not Numbers. Absolutely. But in Deuteronomy, it just becomes sort of the backdrop. Remember what God has done on your behalf. So it becomes the backdrop, the covenantal language. It's part of the broader theme of Deuteronomy. Remember, remember, remember. And teach this to your children and to your children's children. Don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. God has entered into history on your behalf. And that just comes over and over again. So it's just one of the themes in Deuteronomy. But yes, absolutely, it started in Genesis. Absolutely. But is it not in the same vein? When you read Exodus chapter 20, how does it start? I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now let me ask every single one of you here who's a believer. Has God brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of your own house of bondage?
Yes.
So we understand it a little differently, and not we don't put a place territorial on it. And Paul talks about that in Colossians 1. He's transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son. So that sense of there's still the release, the redeeming from bondage. And I would submit to you that what you and I, when you read the pages of Exodus, Deuteronomy, you are reading what we have experienced spiritually in very physical terms. And Paul talks about that, I think it's 1 Corinthians 10, that these things were written for our instruction. So I can read Deuteronomy and go, God wants me to remember. I don't have to wear a frontlet or a phylactery or put a mezuzah. I mean, if you want to, that's great. But we're called, and what are some of the first words he says to Joshua in Joshua 1? Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. In other words, the word of God should always be on our mouth. Because if it has departed from our mouth, we are no longer speaking it. We are no longer calling it into remembrance. We are no longer teaching it. We're no longer living it. It has departed. And so that sense shows up over and over and over. And therein, I think, is one of the great lessons from the Old Testament. Other questions? Yeah, next week it's Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Anything else? Any other questions? Forget Deuteronomy. I don't know what happened, June, but they're a quiet bunch. Well, let's close in prayer then. Father God, we thank you for your word. And I do pray, Father, that we would be a people who always remember, who always have your word in our hearts, that it would be engraved on the tablets of our hearts, tablets of flesh and not of stone. That it would be a living word, always coming into our remembrance as we walk through our lives day by day, that we would remember and not forget that you are the one who has delivered us from bondage to the enemy into the kingdom of light. Lord, we bless you tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.